transformation, and opportunities are everywhere. Who will stay relevant, adapt, and grow? At Siemens, this is our answer. With technology, we create impact and value for our customers, addressing their major challenges to master digital transformation, increase sustainability, and adapt to rapidly changing markets. In industry, infrastructure, mobility, and healthcare that are forming the backbone of our economies and societies. As a focused technology company, we combine the real and the digital worlds to help our customers become more efficient, more resilient, more sustainable, and ultimately, more competitive. Making the places where we live and work smarter. Making the movement of goods and people more efficient. Making manufacturing more flexible and productive. Making healthcare more effective. And making our future sustainable. A company driving digitalization. A company empowering its customers. A company transforming the everyday. Siemens. Accelerating high-value growth.
Guten Morgen, meine Damen und Herren.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, fellow colleagues, dear journalists. A very warm welcome to today's annual financial press conference 2021 of Siemens AG. Today, you will find out some details regarding how Siemens has high value growth and establishing it as a focused technology company. My name is Leonard Jackson, and since October 1st, I've been head of communication here at Siemens. It is my pleasure to welcome you all here today, here in Munich in person, as well as online virtually. Now, as you can probably hear in my German, I am British, but it is, of course, an honor here to welcome all of you here in German. My dear colleague Florian Martens, whom, of course, you already know very well, will follow up the presentation with the Q&A session. He will moderate it accordingly. However, it was important for me to personally welcome all of you. And I promise you, next year, I will host the annual press conference in German fully.
We switch briefly into English. Unfortunately, the current circumstances of the pandemic still mean only limited people in person in events. I'm therefore delighted that we can once again welcome many of you virtually to our annual press conference this year. We have all learned that digital collaboration can work extremely well. Today, it's our very first annual hybrid press conference, so we have people here in person and online. And as we're likely to have to repeat this, we would very much appreciate your feedback so that we can continue to improve. Now let me introduce you to our two presenters. A very warm welcome to Roland Busch as CEO and Ralf Thomas as CFO. Our board members will first speak to you about the past fiscal year, the outlook for the current year, and further developments of Siemens AG. Following their speeches, we will start our Q&A session. As mentioned, this will be moderated by Florian Martens. Now, whether in the room or online, you have the opportunity to ask your question in person. Please note the technical instructions that we already sent in advance. Florian will go over them before the Q&A starts. This morning, we proudly published our results for fiscal year and Q4 2021. All documents relating to today's announcements can also be found on our press website, siemens.com/press. The recording of this press conference will be uploaded there afterwards. And of course, our press team and I are available all day to answer your questions. Last but not least, I would like to briefly refer you to our safe harbor statement that you can find at the beginning of our quarterly presentation. Herzlichen Dank für Ihre Aufmerksamkeit.
Thank you very much for your attention. And with that, I would like to hand over the floor to Roland Bush.
Thank you very much, Lynette. Very good job, actually. And a very good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's very nice of you to have taken the time to be here and, you know, that you attend our annual press conference. Now, 1 year ago, we started a new chapter. As a focused technology company, we support our customers in successfully shaping their sustainable and digital transformation. For this purpose, we focus on highly attractive growth markets, industry, infrastructure, mobility, and healthcare. We are in a position to combine the digital and the analog world and use our resources better. As we speak, world leaders are meeting in Glasgow to discuss how we can achieve the targets of the Paris Agreement. This is about the future of mankind. We must succeed in ensuring that the world will still be livable in the decades to come. To achieve this goal, we need to do everything we can do to limit the temperature increase to 1.5 degrees Celsius. This will be successful only if we implement all the technologies at our disposal now and with full force, and if, of course, we bring new technologies to the market quickly. We can master the major challenges of our time, climate protection, digitalization, the ongoing pandemic, but also our aging society can be handled only with innovations. There's no country, there's no company which will be able to do that alone. Siemens is contributing to this effort and contributing very successfully with a clear strategy and the ambition to further accelerate progress. And we're doing that with a lot of pride, I can say. That in fiscal 2021, we have kept our promises, all our promises, and we've created substantial values for our stakeholders. Now, this is possible only because of the outstanding performance of all our people worldwide and their incredible commitment. And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of them for their magnificent efforts. My thanks also go to our customers and partners for their trust and solidarity in these extraordinary times. Surely, the robust economic recovery across all regions, and particularly in industries such as automotive, machine building, electronics, and most infrastructure-related verticals, provided fresh momentum. However, the macro environment is and will remain difficult. We are still facing challenges caused by the pandemic, supply chain risks, component shortages, and cost inflation. Against this backdrop, it's even more important that we at Siemens have mastered all these challenges very successfully and seized opportunities as they've arisen. And this brings me to our results. I can say, in every sense, it was an outstanding fiscal year with a very successful start as a focused technology company. We've achieved our forecast, our guidance, even exceeded it. And as you know, we also have raised our outlook four times over the course of the year. And I can say that comparable revenue grew an impressive 11.5%. Orders from customers were up a substantial 21% year over year on a comparable basis. And here I should say we saw double-digit growth across all our businesses. The book-to-bill ratio, which means the incoming orders and the revenues, was 1.15, a figure which bodes very well for the start of fiscal 2022. We clearly improved our performance, and this is reflected in the very high rise of net income to 6.7 billion. And this is clearly above what we forecast. And I'm even more pleased with our historic record-setting free cash flow of 8.2 billion euros. This is at all-time high and corresponds to an extraordinary cash conversion rate of 123%. Now, looking at the profitability of our businesses, our profit margin is 15%. This is a much higher level than in the past. And this figure shows that our new setup is enabling us to generate more profit from our increased revenue. Digital industries and smart infrastructure fully achieved or even exceeded their growth and profitability guidance. This result impressively demonstrates how our outstanding ability to deliver to our customers despite supply chain difficulties. Mobility was just shy of its targets. The result was due to pandemic-related effects primarily impacting our customers, many of whom are still operating at a low capacity level. At this point, I would like to point out that all our businesses are again operating considerably above their pre-pandemic levels of fiscal 2019. When we look at revenue of industrial businesses, that was up 5% and 6% compared to 2 years ago. Not only have we made up for the setback, but we've also grown and gained market share in very, very difficult times. At our Capital Market Day, we presented our degree framework, which addresses sustainability from every angle. We've set ourselves very ambitious targets in six core action fields. We are now working to achieve them, and we are seeing clear successes. We will report more details in our 2021 annual report in December. Now, I would like to give you a few examples from our fourth quarter. In China, our team launched a far-ranging zero-carbon initiative with which Siemens is significantly exceeding the requirements set by the Chinese government. In China, we want our operations to achieve carbon neutrality by 2030, as we've achieved at our electric products factory in Suzhou, which is already carbon neutral today. But to us, it's even more important to decarbonize entire supply chains across many industries. We'll support more than 500 of our most important suppliers and more than 10,000 customers in China in accelerating their journey towards carbon neutrality. Our team in China offers comprehensive solutions from consulting to planning and implementation to optimization. We ensure the necessary transparency, for example, through our offering of digital twins for the entire process. Our factory in Erlangen, Germany, has received the Lean and Green Management Award for the second time. The Erlangen factory is a trailblazer in sustainable and digital production. During the pandemic, we at Team Siemens have developed a fully new approach to the way we learn and further grow. More than 150,000 employees are already using our interactive digital learning platform. Surely, our customers benefit from our activities and portfolio in the sustainability area, but our sustainability portfolio also opens up great business opportunities. You know, an example is Wunsiedel, a city in northern Bavaria with 10,000 inhabitants. Thanks to smart infrastructure, an independent distributed energy system is being installed in the town, thus creating a blueprint for many other towns and communities around the world. Wunsiedel, which is receiving funding from Siemens Financial Services, will use only renewable resources. Producers and consumers are linked in the town's new smart energy grid, which connects power, heating and mobility systems via state-of-the-art storage technologies such as hydrogen and batteries. We can say this market for carbon neutrality already includes more than 100 towns and communities in Germany, and the demand for such distributed energy systems will increase sevenfold worldwide by 2030. This is an enormous potential for Siemens. Another example comes from an industry which is strongly developing. It's called vertical farming. In other words, the decentralized and highly resource-efficient production of food in indoor farms. We are already collaborating with US-based 80 Acres Farms, whose offerings include salad blends, tomatoes and microgreens, i.e. superfoods, I should call it, all of which are grown without pesticides, are freshly harvested and stay fresh longer using a minimal amount of space and short food miles. It's all about healthy and sustainably produced food for the future. Now, this is a growth market for automation and digitalization businesses of ours. In this area, we're expecting annual growth over the next 5 years of around 25%, and we want to capture a significant share of this growth. Along with other investors, Siemens Financial Services also participated in 80 Acres Farms through an equity investment in a Series B financing round, together with other investors. Many companies are struggling with supply chain problems. Our teams very successfully managed to limit the impact of component shortages. And as a result, we have been able to keep deliveries at a high level. Siemens is extremely efficient, and this resilience of our supply chains, manufacturing activities and services is supported by this power of Siemens. How can we achieve this? We pool demand for raw materials and components, which ensures our ranking as a relevant partner for more than 1,500 strategic suppliers. And we continually collaborate with our suppliers in order to, for example, to improve availability, innovation, productivity, and sustainability. It is our aim to optimize total cost of ownership rather than focus on price only. For this purpose, we are using our own technologies to make our inventories transparent in real time and to fully digitalize our production and capacity planning, and this on a daily basis and across multiple factories. As a result, we can say that we will remain flexible and agile in our global production network. Now, looking ahead, we expect delivery times to remain longer, at least in the first half of fiscal 2022, because we need to process our large order backlog and because there are component shortages. We'll also experience headwinds from cost inflation in materials, increased transport costs, and a lack of experts in some areas. But nevertheless, we are confident that we can limit the impact on our profitability by adjusting prices throughout the year. The key to our future success is targeted investments in innovation and core technologies. We'll further increase our R&D intensity in order to develop new applications, boost our competitive strength, and increase our profitability. Part of this increase in fiscal 2021 is due to Varian and Supply Frame acquisitions, which have a high level of R&D efforts. Around half of our R&D investments are allocated to software and IoT, i.e. Internet of Things. A key focus of these investments is the transition already underway towards software as a service, a new business model for part of our software portfolio. And again, we are investing around 500 million euros in the advanced development of current and future growth areas for company-wide technologies such as artificial intelligence, digital twins, and simulation edge technologies, and additive manufacturing. We want to further strengthen Siemens as a focused technology company. For this purpose, we are also continuously sharpening and optimizing our portfolio. And as you can see, we strengthened all our businesses in fiscal 2021 with targeted bolt-on acquisitions, something we'll continue to do in the future. And at the same time, we are constantly searching for the best owner for each business. And I can say that we really made progress last year. The Flender divestment was a prime example of how a private equity approach is enabling us to create value at our portfolio companies. And we also successfully completed the Unix carve-out in fiscal 2021. Unix is the only global player in a highly fragmented market, and it has firmly established itself as a strong brand at this year's ITS World Congress. And we are also working on splitting Siemens Logistics into two businesses, a business offering logistics for postal and parcel services and an airport logistics business, because these markets have fundamentally different requirements and dynamics. And at the same time, in addition, we'll carve out Siemens Large Drives. We'll give this business greater entrepreneurial freedom in order to boost its performance. Now, Just a few weeks ago, we took another significant step toward creating substantial value by profiting from the successful public listing of Fluence Energy, a joint venture between Siemens and the global power supplier IES. Fluence Energy develops battery storage solutions and is therefore active in a key high-growth future market. One of our strategic priorities is to empower our customers to master the major challenges they face. An excellent example of this approach is the landmark order for a new comprehensive rail system for high-speed, regional and freight trains in Egypt. We are building a Suez Canal on rails. We signed the first contract for the 660-kilometer line between the Mediterranean and the Red Sea, has been signed at the beginning of September. In addition to infrastructure and trains, this contract also includes related services. This order volume totals around US$3 billion, and the major portion of which will be booked after the financial close in fiscal 2022. Negotiations for two further contracts are in full swing. The entire network will cover 1,800 kilometers. Now, what's the use and the profit benefit for Egypt? More than 30 million passengers are expected to use the new rail system every year, with average travel times cut by a full 50%. Compared to car and bus travel, emissions are to be decreased by 70%, and the consortium as a whole will create a total of 15,000 new jobs in Egypt and will also invest heavily in training and continuing education. With this project, we are transforming the backbone of an entire country's transportation system and thereby the everyday lives of millions of people. And we're not doing this in Egypt alone, and not only on rails or rail transport. This has been demonstrated by the IAA Mobility Motor Show in Munich. At the IAA, we showcased our cutting-edge design and simulation software, as well as our automation solutions. Electromobility is a key growth market for smart infrastructure. As a technology partner, our charging stations were not just on display all around Munich. Far more importantly, they were also used. What's more, our approach was highly innovative. We demonstrated how robots can automatically charge autonomous vehicles in the future, cars, buses, and heavy load vehicles. We also showcased our mobility as a service solutions, which enable people to easily book and seamlessly use bus, rail and rental car services and other modes of transport. Siemens, in this world of new mobility, Siemens is playing a central role, and this is just the beginning. And you can see how great the potential is and how we are contributing to transforming people's everyday lives is something you will be able to see at Expo 2020 in Dubai, you know, a city of the future. Buildings account for a full 80% of all energy consumption in the Middle East. Now, using our technologies, we are helping make energy use in the region more efficient. For this purpose, we connected more than 130 buildings on our IoT platform at the Expo and installed digital building management solutions. The result? Less energy consumption, fewer emissions, and higher levels of comfort and safety. Our technologies will remain a nucleus of the future sustainable smart city on Dubai's Expo grounds. This is a role model, and it will help to make cities around the world more sustainable and more livable. Our contribution at Expo 2020 is just one of many examples of what sets Siemens apart as a focused technology company. And this is exactly our unique ability which distinguishes us as a mobility company. Our hardware business and our digital business, software, digital services and IoT consulting support and reinforce each other. They are a strong foundation, our deep and comprehensive domain know-how, our technology portfolio, and the many partners in our ecosystem help us to go along this way. As we announced at our Capital Market Day, we expect our digital business to achieve average annual revenue growth of about 10% until fiscal 2025. And revenue increased to 5.6 billion already in fiscal 2021. Supported by the business model shift at Digital Industries software business, this growth will further accelerate after fiscal 2023. Now, this transition to software as a service at our product lifecycle management business, i.e. the PLM business, has started as planned, and I'm confident that this move will be a success story. Now, to gain further momentum in fiscal 2022, we made significant investments in product availability, customer success management, and sales enablement already in Q4 2021. We are in close contact with our customers and are explaining to them the advantages of downloading software via the cloud, how contracts are designed, and how secure their data is. The feedback has been positive. We are currently slightly ahead of schedule in terms of customer numbers, and we are going to give you more details in the next quarters. A key indicator of a healthy software business is annual recurring revenue, ARR. Here, we are on the right track. ARR grew 10% to 2.9 billion euros in fiscal 2021. We expect the share of ARR from cloud-based services to increase materially from today's 5%, and this during fiscal 2022. Of course, it is also important for us how the capital market rates our strategy as a focused technology company. 1 year after the spin-off of Siemens Energy, we can draw a very positive conclusion. The total shareholder return for our shareholders as at September the 30th, 2021, since the successful Siemens Energy spin-off, was really a strong 45%. And I should say that this is a much better development compared to other indices. And we are very confident that our shareholders will continue to be very pleased with their Siemens shares in the future. By way of conclusion, I would like to talk about the fourth quarter figures. At 19.1 billion euros, orders were up by a strong 16% year over year on a comparable basis. This increase was driven by double-digit growth at Mobility and Digital Industries, which led to a very healthy book-to-bill ratio of 1.09. Revenue climbed to 10% on a comparable basis to 17.4 billion euros. We recorded growth across all businesses with a double-digit increase at Digital Industries and Siemens Healthineers. Revenue rose across all regions, in Germany up 17%, US plus 9%, and in China, now against the backdrop of a very strong previous year quarter, you know, a strong 12% increase. The adjusted EBITDA for our four industrial businesses totaled 2.3 billion euros. Our structural improvement measures are continuing to pay off compared to the lower levels last year. Our stellar performance resulted in higher provisions for the variable compensation of our workforce. The above-mentioned cost increases in some areas also impacted profitability. Now, all this, as a result, led to a solid profit margin of 13.8%, which is on a par with a prior year level. When we, exclude portfolio effects, earnings per share, 1.45 euros. Here, we benefited, among other things, from a revaluation of our stake in ThoughtWorks. Ralph and I are very proud of our free cash flow development throughout the year. At group level, free cash flow in the fourth quarter totaled, and this is very strong evidence of the fact that Siemens is really going through a very good business development and can turn it converted into cash as well. And our strong performance is also reflected in the key performance indicator for our capital structure, with our ratio of industrial net debt to EBITDA of 1.5, we've achieved our target range a year earlier than expected. And this brings me to the end of my remarks. Ralph will provide you with a more detailed overview of the figures and the outlook for 2022 in a minute. A year ago, I assumed operational responsibility for the company and was appointed president and CEO in February. It's been an outstanding, historic year for Siemens, not just in terms of our great results. We've achieved a lot, a great deal. I'm grateful and proud of what we've accomplished. We owe our success to our over 300,000 colleagues around the world. I'm seeing huge support for our strategy, for our transformed culture, and for our new way of working, but also, and maybe especially, for our focus on what makes Siemens an exceptional company: technology. Technology which serves people. The commitment, the passion of people to support our customers is incredible. Together we've shown what's possible. When Siemens shows its best face to the world. And now I hand over. Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much, Roland. And also from my side, ladies and gentlemen, a very good morning to all of you. And before I begin, I would like to, as always, refer you to our earnings release. There, of course, you will find the results of all our businesses, including the figures for Siemens Healthineers, which have already been published. But now it is, of course, my pleasure to share further details regarding our very convincing performance in Q4 of fiscal 2021. Now, please, just a technical remark. All of the percentage changes that I will about to announce have been adjusted for currency translation and portfolio effects already. So let's begin with Digital Industries. Our key markets for DI, in particular automotive and machine building, continued to show strong positive momentum in Q4. Now, this momentum was also reflected in the orders for automation products, although parts of the production at some of our customers' factories were impacted by constraints in the customers' supply chains. The strong rise in demand was also partially caused by the fact that some of our customers were concerned about extended delivery times and expected further price increases. Now, due to the fact that experience has shown that such effects normally weaken again over time, we expect the situation to lead to a certain normalization of our customers' orders activity during fiscal 2022. Now, with these extremely strong orders and an impressive book-to-bill ratio of 1:1.6, Digital Industries reached an order backlog exceeding 7 billion euros as of the end of the fiscal year, ladies and gentlemen. So 3.3 billion of this, and this is, of course, an all-time high, is actually accounted for by our short cycle products. Now, all automation businesses showed a massive order growth, with discrete automation up 54% and process automation up by 23%. As expected, DI's software business was up only modestly due to tough comparables from the prior year quarter for electronic design automation software, which is, of course, EDA for short. However, the PLM business grew in the double-digit range. Now, we are very pleased that automation revenue has also developed well. It rose 17% year-on-year and achieved clear sequential growth over the third quarter. From what we've seen so far from our competitors' reports during the current earnings season, these impressive growth figures speak a clear language. We are making important market share gains in our short cycle businesses. In discrete automation, revenue was up even 20% due to broad-based demand in the factory automation and motion control businesses. Process automation achieved 8% revenue growth as well as sequential growth over the prior year quarter. Here, customer demand has obviously continued to recover well. Software revenue was up, driven by the PLM segment with a 13% growth. Overall, software business grew by 10%. The investment sentiment among our software customers has thus clearly improved. The digitalization of our customer industries is obviously progressing quite well. Now, as Roland Busch has already said, the launch of our software as a service business model is entering the market at just the right time. Now, our EDA business, after strong growth in the first half of the fiscal year showed mid-single-digit growth in Q4. Mendix, on the other hand, continued its substantial double-digit growth trajectory. On the profit side, Digital Industries reached strong 18.8% margin performance. This is an operational improvement of 90 basis points over the prior year quarter, which had benefited from a positive effect due to the revaluation of the stake in Bentley Systems to the magnitude of 13.7 percentage points back then. Higher revenue in our short cycle business in Q4 also resulted in consistent margin improvements. In addition, implementing our ongoing measures for structurally improving the cost base had a positive impact. We are fully on track with our competitiveness program as described in detail at our Capital Market Day in June, right here. Now, nevertheless, the so-called business mix was somewhat less favorable in Q4 compared to Q3. On top of that, higher material costs and the announced investments in targeted growth initiatives alongside higher incentive accruals affected margins. So, not a huge surprise, but definitely very pleasant for our employees after such a successful year. But moving on today as well, of course, we would like to report transparently on our investments in cloud technologies and our integration investments. As we do every quarter, of course. In Q4, they accounted for 180 basis points of negative impact on the margin. For fiscal 2021, overall, these investments and expenditures amounted to around 220 million euros. Now, free cash flow that has Digital Industries has achieved was at roughly 1.1 billion euros this quarter. So another literal high point. This truly exceptional performance with a cash conversion rate of 1.23 we owe to extremely professional work done on working capital management across all businesses. And of course, we also benefited from advance payments made by some of our customers. Let's look now at what we expect to happen in our key vertical end markets for the next quarters. We expect a continuing recovery and a more positive investment sentiment in our most key industries. Against the backdrop of the transformation toward more sustainability, the focus on resilient industrial supply chains and the prevailing labor shortages in some areas, as Roland has mentioned, the main drivers for investment demand for automation and digitalization are intact. And Siemens will, of course, continue to benefit highly from them. Now, I would like to give you a regional perspective on our excellent growth in orders and revenue on our automation business. Thanks to the strong short cycle business, China orders once more showed extraordinary growth by a tremendous 61%. Our businesses benefited in part from early customer orders while inventories in distributor channels are at the usual levels. Here too, as mentioned in the beginning, we expect a normalization of demand over the course of fiscal 2021. So nothing out of the ordinary here. We also had some exceptional growth rates from the European countries. Germany was up by 49%. Italy delivered a 42% increase. Now, revenue growth in automation businesses was very broad-based with strong increases across all major regions. The extraordinary momentum in China remained on a high level, up 21% year over year and up sequentially as well. Germany and Italy both also had strong finish with double-digit revenue growth towards the end of the year. Now, in the United States, where there is a strong focus on process automation, it was nevertheless still possible to achieve revenue growth of 9%. Now, as Roland Busch said, our team is working with determination again in fiscal 2021 to mitigate risks from supply shortages in areas such as electronic components. Of course, we still have to expect negative impact from higher commodity prices and general cost inflation. We intend to compensate for these increases over the course of the year with further increases in the prices for our products and services. Now, for the first quarter of fiscal 2022, we anticipate, from today's point of view, close to 10% comparable revenue growth for the Digital Industries based on rigorous execution of the considerable order backlog already mentioned. Now, as we explained at our Capital Market Day in June, we expect software revenue to be rather flat year over year in fiscal 2022 due to the transition to SaaS. In the first quarter, due to this changeover, we expect a clear negative impact on the top line, also because of the entailed volatility regarding the EDA business. We already announced this as well. Now, also given the announced increase in our investments to fully leverage our outstanding growth opportunities, we expect Digital Industries' profit margin for the first quarter in 2022 to be at the same level as in Q4 of fiscal 2021. Please note at this point that I would like to once again point out that following our new Siemens financial framework as of fiscal 2022 and as previously again announced, we will use our new profit definition. And now, based on this, profit no longer includes financial income, although this does not result in any material effects. We have made comparable figures available to you already today with today's earnings release. Now, let's move on to smart infrastructure. The SI team delivered very convincing top-line growth in better end markets and supplied the next proof point for a clear margin expansion trajectory. In total, orders were up 9.5%, driven most notably by high teens growth at the electrical products business unit, which benefited from ongoing industrial demand. Now, in the systems business, we were able, among other things, to win attractive large orders in the United States from renowned semiconductor manufacturers. The data center vertical as well continued to show healthy momentum. The solutions and service business was flat year on year due to lower volume from large orders. Revenue growth totaling 7% was driven by the products business in particular, which was up 13% in total. Systems business benefited from strong demand for distribution grids. Now, as expected, the late cycle solutions and the services business showed modest growth. It will continue to recover in the quarters ahead. Now, smart infrastructure's margin performance of 12% benefited, among other things, from high capacity utilization and from cost savings that were enabled by rigorous execution of our SI's competitiveness programs. As we reported in detail at our Capital Market Day, this execution of this plan is fully on track. Now, on the flip side, there were, as expected, headwinds from higher commodity prices and logistics costs. We've talked about this previously, but a clear highlight in Q4 was the free cash flow again, which, due to the consistent asset management, even topped the strong figure of the prior year quarter. Looking at regional top-line development at SI, strong momentum in the United States and Germany truly stood out. Both countries posted double-digit growth and a revenue increase in the high single digits. Compared to the strong prior year quarter in the product and services business, China showed a temporary softness. However, of course, revenue was sequentially stable versus the prior quarter. Now, at this point, I would like to point out that Smart Infrastructure, just like Digital Industries, did an excellent job of keeping its supply chains intact, a true noteworthy achievement under exceptionally challenging conditions. So, thank you so very much to the team for this fantastic accomplishment and everybody who contributed to this. This was not a given. As far as the market development is concerned, we expect the positive momentum in the end market for short-cycle electrical product businesses to continue. We also expect our solutions business to pick up further in line with gradually improving growth perspectives in the late-cycle real estate market. The electrification market is on a solid growth trajectory with accelerating renewables integration and higher electricity consumption from the grid. Based on this development, our expectation for Q1 is that SI's growth rate for comparable revenue will be in line with our guidance for the full fiscal year. Now, as Roland Busch and I both already highlighted, Smart Infrastructure has done truly excellent work of mitigating the impact from strained supply chains. However, as already indicated, we see continuing headwinds from higher raw material prices, which can be compensated for over time by pricing actions at the customer's end. In total, we expect SI's first quarter profit margin to improve compared to Q4 of fiscal 2021, but not yet reach the full year guidance expected margin target range of 12 to 13%. Let's now turn to mobility, our third industrial business. Due to several large rolling stock orders in Europe and to a strong finish in rail infrastructure, orders grew a truly substantial 31%. Mobility's backlog stands at a record level of 36 billion euros with consistently healthy gross margins. Now, around one third of this backlog is, of course, comprised of highly attractive and resilient service business, which grew 11% year on year on a nominal basis. Now, our sales funnel for the coming quarters also looks very promising as well. Due largely to the pandemic, revenue was just shy of our expectations and grew by 1%. The rail infrastructure business showed clear growth, driven primarily by the mainline business. Rolling stock and customer services, on the other hand, were flat year over year. The situation was mainly driven by COVID-19 related restrictions that led to lower factory productivity and to lower ridership in public transport. So as a result, lifecycle revenue, services, and the spare parts business are only recovering slowly. The profit margin was again at an industry-leading level. However, it was also impacted by the effects that I just mentioned that are, of course, related to the coronavirus pandemic. Mobility even exceeded our own expectation with a free cash flow of more than 1.2 billion euros in Q4. Now, reaching major project milestones and receiving advance payment had a positive impact on this outstanding cash performance. By the way, cash conversion for fiscal 2021, with all of this, stands at 1.05, which is, of course, also a level that is clearly above even our own lofty ambitions. Now, looking ahead into fiscal 2021, our assumptions for revenue growth for the first quarter is in line with the full year guidance range of 5 to 8%. Now, with the profit margin for this first quarter, we actually do expect it to be a notch higher sequentially compared to the fourth quarter. However, we do not expect it to reach the new target margin corridor, which at the lower end, of course, begins at 10%. But still, at this point, let me briefly also highlight the more than solid operational performance of the Siemens Healthineers team, which already disclosed their financials 1 week ago. As a majority shareholder, of course, we are pleased with the strong operational outlook and the integration of Varian, which has begun successfully. Now, the negative impact of the Varian transaction on Siemens AG's fully consolidated year net income reached 224 million euros for fiscal 2021. Now, this impact, of course, was lower than originally expected, mainly driven due to the purchase price allocation effects. Siemens Financial Services delivered another very consistent performance in Q4. Its significant improvement over the prior year quarter was mainly due to a clear reduction in credit risk provisions. Now, fully in line with its strategy, Siemens Financial Services also acts as a business enabler, a so-called business enabler, if you will, that uses its domain know-how to support new business models while it is de-risking its business profile. So, I think that's a very good piece of news, and the stability, of course, and the inherent boringness is quite beneficial. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, on page 36 of the appendix to the presentation, you will find the complete Q4 earnings bridge for our activities below our industrial businesses, as always. Here, however, I would like to provide a few more details on two additional items below our industrial businesses. Our portfolio companies, for the very first time in their current setup, were in the black. The fully consolidated units more than compensated for ongoing losses from our stake in the Valeo Siemens joint venture, which is truly a great achievement from the entire team. On top of that, within our corporate items, we recorded a $260 million revaluation gain on our stake in ThoughtWorks following the company's initial public offering in September. Now, let's turn to my favorite topic, free cash flow. As mentioned, free cash flow performance in the fourth quarter was a truly stellar finish to an outstanding year. We posted record highs, both at the group level, where we reached 8.2 billion, and for our industrial businesses, where we reached close to 10 billion euros. Now, despite strong revenue growth, all businesses achieved a cash conversion rate of clearly above one. This result is far ahead of our ambition over the business cycle, and it sets a high level of comparison for fiscal 2022, which is already underway, of course. Now, we have and will do everything, have done and will do everything in our power to continue the fiscal 2021 success story in fiscal 2022, and we are very confident that we will also accomplish this goal when it comes to free cash flow. Now, the excellent performance with profitable growth and stringent working capital management in fiscal 2021 was directly reflected in two very important key metrics from our new Siemens financial framework. First, our return on capital employment, so this is the ROCE for short, for fiscal 2021, excluding variant-related M&A effects, came in at 15.1%. So this is now in fiscal 2021, meaning 2 years earlier than we expected, and we've actually made it back to the target corridor of between 15 to 20%. Secondly, our capital structure metric, so the industrial net debt over EBITDA, was at a value of 1.5x, which, again, was within our target range of 1 full year ahead of time. Another success story in this respect involves the financing of our pension plans, for which we sharply reduced the deficit to 2.8 billion euros despite the low interest rate environment. Now, as previously indicated, we will further optimize our capital structure by rigorously continuing our successful portfolio policy and by maintaining strong free cash flow in the future as well. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in line with our new progressive dividend policy, Siemens will propose to the annual shareholders meeting a dividend of 4 euros per share. This is up 50 euro cents from the prior year dividend. Now, this proposal, of course, represents an attractive dividend yield of 2.8% based on the September 30th closing share price. Now, it also reflects our stellar performance in fiscal 2021 and our great confidence in the future development of the company. At the same time, of course, we are very mindful and prudent when it comes to setting our capital allocation priorities. Now, in addition to dividends, the second important pillar of our total shareholder return is our share buyback program. The previous 3 billion euro program finished with a very beneficial outcome for all of our shareholders. Now, as a next step, even this month still, we will start a new long-term share buyback program of up to 3 billion euros that will run until 2026 to counter dilution caused by a share-based compensation plan. Let's now turn to the fundamental assumptions behind our outlook. For our outlook for fiscal 2022, we assume continuing healthy growth in global GDP, even though, of course, we expect a slowing momentum across the board. On top of that, we assume the challenges that arise for our businesses from COVID-19 and bottlenecks from supply chains will ease during 2022. We also expect that by the second half of fiscal 2022, pricing measures will, to the greatest possible extent, compensate for inflation and the cost of raw materials, components, and labor. Now, to continue to build on our strengths in automation software and digital transformation, and to tap specific growth markets, we will further expand our already high levels of investment in research and development. Here, we will once again place a strong focus on software and digital technologies. In addition, we will selectively invest in go-to-market, digital sales channels, and new verticals. Furthermore, the transition towards a SaaS model in our large digital industry software business will drive an increase in our OPEX expenses. We assume severance charges will amount to about 150 to 200 million euros in fiscal 2022, which is a substantially lower level compared to fiscal 2021. Now, based on the current rates, we anticipate only marginal effects from foreign exchange on our top line and profit margin. Now, as Roland Busch has already pointed out, we will continue to rigorously execute our portfolio optimization strategy. Now, based on our assumptions, this optimization's overall contribution to our net income will be on a similar level as in fiscal 2021. We have four major transaction-related special effects in fiscal 2021, which all in all contributed about 1.5 billion euros to our net income. More specifically, this was, of course, the sale of our Flinders business, gains from the transfer of Siemens stakes in Bentley Systems and ChargePoint to our pension trust, and the recent reevaluation of our stake in ThoughtWorks after the company's successful IPO. Although we obviously cannot yet talk about the planned transactions at this particular point in time, we will, of course, as always, be fully transparent on the individual effects as they materialize in due time. An initial proof point for this impact is the gain from Fluence Energy's successful IPO, which Roland Busch mentioned previously. For Q1 of fiscal 2021, we anticipate an extraordinary pre-tax gain of nearly 300 million euros and a post-tax gain of around 200 million euros. Now, this amount will be booked below the industrial businesses in the reconciliation to consolidated financial statements under the line item financing, elimination, and other items. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reference, page 36 in the appendix of the presentation contains all the details for our outlook for below our industrial businesses represented in our new reporting structure as of fiscal 2022. Now, I'd like to point out some very important topics here. We expect that SFS's results in fiscal 2022 to be higher than in fiscal 2021, but we do not expect them to return to pre-COVID levels just yet. Now, within the portfolio companies, we expect that the results of the fully owned businesses will improve further and that they will achieve their target margin of at least 5% in fiscal 2022. We expect our equity investment in the Valeo Siemens joint venture to remain volatile and report a negative result. For our at equity investment in Siemens Energy, we anticipate a certain improvement of our anticipation and results based on Siemens Energy's expectations. As indicated, we assume for fiscal 2022 that the corresponding burdens from the purchase price allocation for Siemens AG will decrease to nearly 100 million euros. Now, our tax rate in fiscal 2022, we expect to be in the range of 25 to 29%. Now, this range, of course, does not reflect any potential impact from larger tax reforms, such as those being discussed in the United States currently, for example. Ladies and gentlemen, a more comprehensive explanation of our outlook is available in our earnings release document or on the slide right here. You can also, of course, see the breakdown according to the individual divisions. You will also find a more detailed breakdown in our earnings publication. Digital Industries in fiscal 2022 expects to achieve comparable revenue growth of 5 to 8% and a profit margin between 19 and 21%, including known headwinds of up to 2 percentage points in connection to the strategic transition to software as a service and parts of its large software business. Smart Infrastructure expects for fiscal 2022 comparable revenue growth of 5 to 8%, where the profit margin is expected to be between 12 to 13%. Moving on to Mobility, here we expect for fiscal 2022 comparable revenue growth between 5 to 8%, and the profit margin is expected to be between 10 and 10.5%. The margin trajectory here is ambitious, especially compared to our competitors, and we assume it will be reached towards the end of the fiscal year. Now, for the Siemens Group, we expect that mid-single-digit comparable revenue growth and, again, a book-to-bill ratio of above one. We expect continue to expect a basic earnings per share before purchase price allocation accounting in the range of 8 euros and 70 cents to 9 euros and 10 cents compared to 8 euros and 30 cents in fiscal 2021. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes my remarks. Thank you very much for your interest and your attention. We're looking forward to your questions now. Back to Florian.
Thank you very much, Ralf Thomas and Roland Busch. Thank you very much. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's all yours. Colleagues here in this room, it's very simple. If you've got a question, raise your hand so that we can understand you. I would like to ask you to press the button on the microphone standing in front of you. The right button means that you will be on air. Now, in order to give many of you an opportunity to ask your questions, we would like to ask you to limit your number of questions to two. Those registered in the virtual Q&A room, the technical proceedings. First, make sure that at your computer or on your iPad, webcam and microphone have really been activated. If you would like to ask a question, please tell us simply by press talk and request button at the top bar, and this will change to waiting. As soon as you're selected, that is, you can ask the next question, then you will see in red on air, and a few seconds later you will be displayed on the screen, the webcam picture as well as live. Everything will mean that you will be live, and you will know that you're live if you're shown on the screen. You can then ask your question. Once your question has been answered, or if you want to withdraw your question, then please press the red eggs next to waiting, then the original blue talk request button will be shown. And if you've dialed in using your phone, and if you'd like to ask a question, then tell us simply by dialing *5 or *5. You know, I've seen a few raised hands here, Mr. Hübner from Reuters, and then Mr. Fleming. Mr. Hübner, first you. Thank you very much. I've got two questions. Well, I would like to start with one question. This is a question which was raised or came up over the last few days. GE announced that they're going to split up even further, i.e. they're going to split up into three business lines. Now, what did they think, you know, when you read this or when you heard this? Now, will this put pressure on Siemens, meaning that you have to take another step forward, or you say, okay, now they're in the same position as we have reached the same level of development? Then about the divestments, which you mentioned, meaning and the Kindex, Unix, Love Strike, and logistics. Now, is it something which we should expect during this year, during the current fiscal year, i.e. the execution of this plan, or do you wait a bit longer? About our competitor in the United States. Well, I thought so. You see, we are two steps ahead. What will change? We are not doing aviation. Healthcare will remain. I think the most exciting question relates to power. Digitalization plays a role in this respect as well. And I believe you should answer this question first. Okay, which means I'm going to answer the other question. And you asked, what did you think? Surely when I read this, surely I had some ideas of my own. What I thought was that we've got a completely different basis and a completely different, say, intention. We introduced this change from a position of strength, self-determined and proactive. And when I read what Larry Culp said, you know, it looks like that he was under pressure as well. And, of course, it is always, say, advantageous if you can act with a feeling of strength proactively and self-confident. This gives you a better position. Now, then talking about these divestment candidates, you know, I explained what we did in last fiscal year, 2021, the extraordinary revenue. Flender, surely this was a divestment. And here our pension fund and profit realizations, and also a new evaluation of this company, which we still hold. We haven't sold it yet, just to make sure. And at the same time, you also should analyze our statement that in 2022, we expect extraordinary, say, income based on this. It is not necessarily a divestment, but it might also be the development of the value positions, i.e., holdings in companies which we continue to hold. And it is also correct that our portfolio will be optimized, as Roland Busch has said. We are very consistent in our efforts. And, you know, the Flender transaction also confirmed our strategy. which we are following. That is, within the group and under the roof of the Siemens AG, we want to use a PE and an equity-related approach. And then you will achieve good results, not in economical terms only, but also with a view to the future of our operations, which in a different context, of course, will, you know, direct and focus tensions to this. This is how we would like to continue. We've got a clear understanding how the 1.5 billion extraordinary revenue will be used in 2022. And in the first step, I already mentioned that there is dilution, that is the appreciation contribution influence energy. You know, there was an IPO quite successful and the development has been positive, you know, when looking at the share prices, or rather the share prices reflect this positive development. Thomas, I saw several hands. Mr. Flamig, please, you are next. Flemick, Börsen-Zeitung, two questions, and this means I would like to, you know, skip the question about Mr. Busch's favorite topic, cash flow. You talk about inflation, price adjustments, all these are issues. Now, can you quantify what the value is of these adjustments across the portfolio, and what about the qualitative assessments? When was it, say, the last time that Siemens was able to push price increases in the market? Second question, Mr. Busch, price, share prices, you know, the development is quite good. And we noticed that since June, the share price increase has influenced the capitalization of Siemens, you know, the one of Healthineers and the rest. The core of Siemens, in relative terms, has, say, decreased in value. How do we assess this development? What are the reasons for that? And, you know, maybe it would be, say, good advice to divest or carve out mobility and, you know, do other things faster with a view to say, Healthineers, because the capital market demands this. Price increases. I should say we are not alone. Our competitors, particularly in the product business, they, like we are working with or have purchasing problems, you know, pricing increase, how you can push this, and then mobility. Well, here we're talking, this is a different situation. We've got long cycle business, you know, when the orders come in, then we lock in prices. So these are some of the issues we are working with. I don't know when we faced a similar situation in the past, but I should say that this is a special situation, combination of shortage, semiconductors on the one hand, and then price inflation on the other hand. So I should say we, and this is what we said at the last quarter, the influence of bottom line is at the low double-digit you know, area. And I believe that this will continue like this in the first quarter of next year. So looking at shortage of semiconductors, well, we knock on wood, we have come through the situation quite well, say. We had very good relations with our semiconductor suppliers, and the power of Siemens behind it all meant that we didn't have any, say, bottlenecks or shortages. And by using digital technologies, we were also in a position to shift value streams between locations and sites, Germany and China also, that the situation was okay, I should say. The development in the stock exchange, well, it's not only about the next few months, it's about the next few quarters. I believe if you deliver, then this is very well appreciated. If you start being bearing conversion, then cash flow results, and this is something which we demonstrated during this business year, we are in a position to change our results into cash flow and, of course, deliver from quarter to quarter. Another issue is growth. We've got higher growth trajectories, 11.5% this fiscal year. Our guidance is forward-looking, and from this high level, we continue to grow by 5% single-digit growth. You've seen our guidance, 5 to 8% in our three areas, and this will be appreciated, I'm sure. So when looking at the development over the years, over the various quarters, then it is positive. From my industry's history, I should, you know, comment on your first question, Mr. Flemming. It is not unusual that you adjust prices. This is routine, and, you know, it happens every year. And surely here it also tallies very well with our intentions that we, as a technology leader, have a reason to adjust prices. Now, this year, and because of the cost inflation, and this refers to higher commodity prices and other influences, well, this was addressed already. So it would be naive that you will be able to handle everything, you know, in line with the various deadlines or times. But within the course of a business year, we should always be in a position, you know, to use pricing power, and this also against the backdrop of customer response, meaning we are in a position to deliver added value to our customers. And I think we are showing and proving this consistently. Our high order backlog really gives us a kind of safety net when it comes to planning, and it will also give us and hold the confidence and trust of our customers in our products. And respectfully disagreed, the Healthineer share price, I know it is quite tempting to look at these prices, and I think it is very good that Healthineers find such good, say, appreciation in the capital market. I'm personally very happy about this. But if you look at these 4 months and look at the very day when one of our competitors really adjusted its prospects for the following year, increased it, our share price also responded. This is a sector-specific reaction. It exists and it will happen again. I agree with Roland Busch, the development of sustainable value increase cannot be measured in months. We've proven this, and this is something which we are going to demonstrate in the future as well. But a few words about it, you know, this mindset, the re-rating. Surely, you know, if you have this conceptual approach, meaning you've got a better tangibility, to put it like this, of stock exchange share prices, and by doing so, you will be able to increase transparency. But within this transparency, only performance will, you know, prove the test of time. Mark Roman, former analyst of Bank of America, at a management event, and he was a guest speaker there, he said what the question was, what should we do in order to eliminate the conglomerate discount? And he said, be boring. Say what you do and do what you say and do it time and again. And I'm convinced that by working on this demanding strategic program and the convincing power, we will be able to increase margins and profits. We will be able to grow, and this will certainly mean that the conglomerate discount will be reduced to a minimum, not within 2 quarters, but if you consistently do what you say, then you will end up there. Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Now, Mr. Höppner, please. And then I've got a question from the virtual room in order to, you know, make our system come alive. 2 questions about the forecast. You said COVID and supply chain improvements will improve business. If this happens, so that, does it mean that this is conservative forecast, or that you have to adjust a few things? Second question about GE. You don't believe that the pressure on Siemens is growing because the capital markets really seem to be keen on, say, split-ups and, you know, rail technology and Healthineers. Does it mean you want to keep them together? Forecast, Mr. Höppner. You've seen the dynamism of the markets, China. The crisis was going on. Automotive technology, it will not come back by 2025. Now in 2022, we've seen the situation, pandemic. You know, if you've got a vaccination rate of 60-70%, then, of course, things will be mitigated or dampened, so to speak. It didn't happen. The forecast is as it is, everything that you can foresee within a specific period of time. We have to remain agile, have to respond very nimbly to any changes in the situation. You know, the efforts with a view of fighting COVID have been stepped up. We have learned how to handle all this, and I think this applies to all our lines as well. You know, the offices are closed, the lines are closed, etc., etc., but nevertheless, we know how to handle this. And in my opinion, I believe that we have really shown strong plans. We based on an annual growth of 11.5%, so we are growing at a further 5%. And I believe that this is something which you probably saw. Healthineer is due to its powerful antigen tests. It remains on a flat trajectory, but, you know, the plan is very good, a very strong, powerful plan. We are gaining market shares. We see that very clearly. And, of course, you have to then see the rest about GE. I don't see any necessity to change our strategy anywhere. We have shown a clear-cut and definite strategy. By focusing on customers, focusing on technologies, we are in a position to expand our market leadership and continue to do so. We see an enormous pull coming from the market with a view to digitalization, automation, sustainability. This is good for our portfolio. And I should say our portfolio means we're in a very good position. We play Siemens strengths, and you look at the supply chains. You know, others cannot deliver, but we do. We use our own technologies across the entire company. We build up technology platforms, escalate everything about across the business lines. There's no reason for me to change anything. And looking, and this is a question coming from the capital market, of course, you know, when will you dilute Siemens Energy? Yeah, and this is something which will happen. We said so. Siemens Healthineer is, you know, we said here, you know, 75%. There's no dogma behind this figure. We see the value increases in healthcare. Now, why shouldn't we pass on this to our Siemens shareholders? And looking at the other businesses, I think we are in excellent positions, and we are a focused technology company which is in a position based on its strengths, not only create and play innovations, but also the ecosystem in order to push digitalization and bring it to the respective and required levels. So a clear statement, we continue our strategy, is good, we've got the right people in the right places, and this is what we will continue. Our strong points are the digital and the analog worlds. George Ebel, in English, please, but of course you will have simultaneous translation. John, welcome.
Right, so he dropped the line, and that's why we're switching back to the real world. And I saw Mr. Reipka, I believe, was the last one who raised his hand, and then Mr. Fromm. Right, now Mr. Busch, you, of course, celebrated your first year with a great dividend, but you also have a slightly more negative outlook than last year. Are you going to maintain this in the long run, or is this sort of just an element of euphoria that you're paying out there? And the second question, if I may, maybe you could... sorry about that, my microphone. So maybe you could talk about the portfolio policy. You also said that you are set up properly, but which fine-tuning are you currently planning? So if you're not striving for bigger measures, what are the smaller measures that you're planning currently? And maybe you could also go into more detail regarding Siemens Energy, where their share is there, or what their share is. Right, I'm going to be starting with the dividend. So with our new financial framework, of course, we have a redefined progressive dividend policy. So far, we've always said 40 to 60%, and now we said we want to be progressive, which means that the 4 euro are the value that we're not going to go under. And if you say, oh, was that just a euphoria dividend? Of course, we thought about, hey, how is it going to look in the next year, the year after that? And are we going to be able to generate all of this from our operational business, you know, a 4 euro plus dividend? And of course, the statement is yes, we wouldn't have done it otherwise. And this is where I can already give you a little bit of a damper. It's not always going to be the 50 euro cents. but it is going to be larger or more than 4 euros. That's it. And I'm very confident that we'll be able to cater to that. And that's why I don't really think that this is, or that this needs any more qualification. Now, on the portfolio side, I think Ralf has already talked about this. We have businesses in our portfolio, companies that we brought together that need to be managed differently. They usually have an SME competition that need a clear focus on their business. And we've made some great experience regarding setting them up in their own unit so that they can do their own thing. Oh, by the way, also ignoring sales. And of course, Flender was a great example. We see a huge momentum for the parcel and parcel in the parcel market and the for parcel sorting machines. That's what we're currently separating those two businesses. So again, the parcel business from the airport business. And we're once again expanding this business with a clear focus and a clear focus, clear development. The same for Unix within mobility. So not the portfolio company, but mobility. Again, a very, very fragmented business, SME driven, but also a business with a huge strength because it's the only business management unit in the world that can truly cater to all global standards. Now, of course, we also did some additional inorganic growth. Now we can also cater to the Asian market and MGA, so large drives. That could also really be the next step, you know, making that independent and focusing further. And of course, we also have strong plans to further our margin business. So those are the big topics. Other topics, of course, are much smaller. We're working at Smart Infrastructure, and we said this, I think we said this 2 years ago, that we're working on a 2 billion euro portfolio. We've sold Uber, and of course, we kind of... these are kind of smaller elements, and it's not really worth talking about here. The rest is really forward-facing regarding bolt-on acquisitions, smaller acquisitions, which strengthen us further. Those are going to be movements you'll see going forward that strengthen our business sustainably. Of course, you mentioned the supply frame on the one side, skill frame on the other side. It's, of course, also about the portfolio. And within digital industries and smart infrastructure, but also mobility, we are always trying to see where we can strengthen our business. But everything, of course, in adherence with the strategic goals, growth markets, profit pools have to be right. Synergies need to be right. It has to fit in with Siemens. And then, of course, at the end, does it meet our sustainability aspects? I think all of that is crucial. Excellent. Thank you very much. We'll try again online. Oh, sorry. Oh, yes. Sorry. Energy. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I forgot about this. So I have to say that because, of course, Ralf is on the supervisory board there. So he may not. We have a clear separation. Yes. So energy. We are not going to sell under book value. And what that means is that, of course, we're looking at the stock price, which is now once again heading in the right direction. And maybe you've already seen this. If you look at the pension trust, it's already 9.9%. I think it's now going up to 4.6%. And we'll, of course, look at things as they progress. That's fair to say. But in the last couple of months, it was always under book value. And so that's that. Right. Thank you very much. That was a complete answer. Next up online, Stefan Frun from Welt. I hope he can hear and see us, and we'll hear and see him as well. Mr. Frun, I think you're still on mute. Yeah, there was also a challenge before. Mr. Frun, let's try again. Mr. Frun, we cannot hear you. Right, so we'll just try to figure this out. It was very similar to the English line before. Before we get to that, though, I would like to then tap into Mr. Fromm. Mr. Fromm, can you hear me? Yes. Perfect. My name is Mr. Fromm from the Süddeutsche Zeitung. Now, Mr. Wisch, you've mentioned a lot of different things on electromobility. You've also mentioned the IAA show here in Munich. And of course, you also said that it's a big growth market. Now, what is the strategy for the coming years? Of course, a lot will change in this market, especially, of course, in these days. And of course, we're discussing more and more when the combustion engine is going to be eliminated or completed. So what can we see there? What can you imagine? What is feasible? You know, also cooperation with OEMs, suppliers, etc. I'm not really sure where you want to head there in the next few years. So we're not going to build cars. I can promise you that. We're also not going to be building any electric cars. E-mobility and what that means for us. We're, of course, always looking at that from different perspectives. Let me start with the first one. Electromobility for infrastructure, charging infrastructure. Here we see a massive need. The charging infrastructure is definitely lagging behind the goals and targets. So if you look at the strong increase of electric vehicles sold, not only in Germany, but also other regions, we really need to massively improve the charging infrastructure, but also the grids. So this is, of course, the medium voltage grid, and especially regarding the AC, DC, or even high power charging for fleets. Regarding all of this, we really want to expand everything. We have a business, this business unit, we want to make more dynamic. We're also investing in R&D, and of course, we've said this, it's smart infrastructure time and time again. So huge growth market. It's definitely going to give us wings. By the way, this also holds true for Fluence, because Fluence, it does batteries for grid stabilization and energy storage, and that's exactly what's going to happen, right? If you need to charge tons of cars, the grid will be unstable. So we need that. That's the one part. The other part is, of course, the value creation chain with e-vehicles. Now here, of course, there's definitely going to be some friction because combustion engines need a lot of hardware, so they need a lot of machine tools, which, of course, on the one hand would get lost, but then on the flip side, we would set up battery manufacturing, and we are one of the leading companies that automate and digitize battery manufacturing processes. We're already on board with different OEMs, and we can still see that the vehicles need paint jobs, they need maintenance, they need seating, so anything and everything that requires automation, we actually see a support here, because many assembly lines need to be adjusted, they need to be rebuilt, and that's, of course, investments. Those are investments into new lines, and we profit off all of this. So at this point, I really think that a lot is heading our way when it comes to tailwinds, also when it comes to engine manufacturing, etc. And by the way, the battery manufacturing, so the entire delivery chain is affected in this, of course. And then the next thing is, of course, a dynamization. So this is regarding the variability in those instances when, for example, Mercedes-Benz, when they modernize their lines, we, of course, have a cooperation with them in order to set up their manufacturing for the future. And they're only set up with the different technologies that you need in order to be super flexible, to basically be able to do everything in one line. And the last part is, of course, electromobility. This is all done on rail. Of course, we believe that with only public transport, with public transport we can achieve our climate goals. So e-cars are only one part of the equation. We will also need to go back onto the rails more and more. And we see real support there for us. We see a very dynamic market, which both in terms of the rail infrastructure as well as in the actual material will give us lots of tailwinds. Right. So next up, Joe Miller from the Financial Times. Good morning, Joe.
Hello? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay, I can't hear you, but I'll continue in the hope that you can hear me. Fantastic. I just wanted to go back to the GE issue. In your answer earlier, it sounded a little bit like a defense of the conglomerate that we haven't heard for quite a long time, when you mentioned that you have more resilience in your supply chains because of how integrated they are, for example. And I just wondered whether these times with the supply chain disruptions that we've seen have restated the case for synergies between different companies across Siemens, and perhaps, you know, from your predecessor, Dr. Bush, all we heard was that there were no synergies anymore, or very few synergies left, and the way forward was just deconglomeration as fast as possible. Is there a sense, perhaps, that the times that we're living in are changing that argument somewhat? Thank you.
Right. Sorry, I was supposed to answer in German. I'm sorry about that. I just answered in English. So what I'm trying to say here is that the markets, of course, have different cycles, which, of course, also makes Siemens' total results stability. I mean, just look at how we made it through the crisis, also due to the stabilization in mobility. I mean, I think this entire discussion, conglomerate, not conglomerate, I think I don't really see that discussion. I think I see Siemens as a company that delivers growth and sets up a very high conversion. We see Siemens as a company that can set up more and more growth momentum because we have the right technologies, we're on the way with the right technologies, we invest in the right technologies, and we are an innovation leader across the board in most topics that we occupy. We invest 8% of our revenue in R&D. That is way above every competitor, and we're doing so smartly because we are focused on those technologies that we need in the future. Company core technologies, AI, simulation, software, additive manufacturing, all those different topics on the one hand. But then also on the other hand, of course, we see a focus on the markets, the momentum that we can generate in the different markets, right? I mean, Mercedes-Benz comes to us because they don't only want to automate their manufacturing, they also want to make it green with everything that is entailed in that, including their building. And of course, also training plays a huge role. So that's also something that we have put a massive footprint on. So I think this discussion, conglomerate or not, I think is quite an artificial discussion. We have already taken those steps that GE takes now, years after. We've done it also from a position of strength, as Ralf said, which is a huge advantage. And now, of course, we're kicking off the next part of the strategy. And please look at Siemens as a focused technology company, which increases value for all stakeholders involved. So not just for the customers, but also for the shareholders, and also for the employees, for the environment, and for society. All right, time is almost running out. We have 3 questions left, and I think we'll manage. We are flexible and agile, so we'll take them. It's about the U.S. market now. Mr. Frim asks, does Siemens expect positive effects from the infrastructure programs in the United States? If yes, what's the scope and what areas are areas of opportunity? Well, the short version is yes. We don't really know the scope yet. I can, however, give you the areas. I think this is true across the world in all stimulus programs. All stimulus programs target not at the past to where you're from where you're coming from, but to where you want to head. So renewable energies, CO2-free production, increased digitalization, because digitalization helps increase productivity. By the way, this also holds true for markets that have less and less labor. Of course, we live in an aging society across the board. We have less workers, and therefore we need more technology in order to make sure we hit our targets. Now, the stimulus, and you know this, of course, as well, goes into different areas, but it also goes into areas like infrastructure. Infrastructure in the mobility area, more public transport. It goes into digitalization, CO2 reduction. All of those are topics that, of course, we cater to, that we, of course, also have a very strong footprint in. I mean, the United States is the biggest market that we have with roughly 21% of revenue. It's the largest chunk in that. And therefore, we are very positive. We are very optimistic that we'll be able to meet this stimulus. By the way, we're also localized there. And we just had a recent statement, I believe it was in the Senate, where somebody said we wanted to order trains with alternative drive technologies, and a little company like Siemens was able to deliver. I think that was a quote even. So we really delivered, and at this point, we really see a strong stimulus program that could also be a true stimulus for Siemens, and will be, I should say. All right, thank you very much. Next question is on the phone lines. Over to William Wilkers from Bloomberg. Go ahead, Will. Right, hello. I have a question on Valeo. Are the losses there higher than expected? And what impact does this have on Siemens sales options? Well, that's, of course, an answer that I can give you very briefly, actually. The options from this contractual joint venture constellation, of course, cannot be discussed publicly, even though our joint venture partner has partially already done so. Now, it is correct that this is, of course, a very attractive business, which has seen a tremendous ramp up to a level which far exceeds what was initially expected. And therefore, of course, we had those ramp up losses due to this advanced performance. Now, the perspective of this business, the outlook of this business is fantastic. And therefore, of course, we'll definitely see the respective price constellations when transitioning those shares, certainly. Right, thanks, William. Thank you, Thomas. Now I saw that Mr. Hesse from the Spiegel has just raised his hands, and then we actually have one last online question. Mr. Hesse, over to you. Yes, just one follow-up on the mobility business. In Berlin, during the new government coalition government, we have the considerations for a reform of the German railway company in order to get more competition, maybe also actually separating the network and the operations. What would these sorts of steps mean for your business? Could that give you another push regarding additional orders for rolling stock or even other business areas? What do you think? Well, first of all, I think what's on the political agenda, you know, getting more traffic from the road, whether it's logistics or personal traffic, to get that on the tracks. I think that's really tailwinds for us anyways. I think it's also the right path, honestly speaking, to go ahead. I think also the customers in Germany tell us if they or when they open a new line, it doesn't really take a long time until they've reached utilization, excluding corona dips, of course. But therefore, I truly believe it's going to help us in any which way, shape, or form. By the way, and this holds especially true for the expansion of infrastructure. Now, we believe that with an expansion of infrastructure and a digitalization of the rail, we can actually get 20% more utilization from the already existing infrastructure, which, of course, is a huge potential, especially if you consider how long it can take to set new tracks in Germany. And then I can also give you my personal opinion regarding the reformation of the railway company. I don't think that's a good idea. What the purported goal is, I think the German railway company does 40 billion in personal traffic and 5 billion go into long distance travel. So I really didn't really understand the whole argumentation to break something up that already works for 5 billion long distance in the local public transport. I mean, there's already definitely tenders, you know, local operators find their way into the market. And we, of course, cater to also other operators, except for the Deutsche Bahn railway company. So I really think you should, or they should, I should say, focus on different companies. And the next point is, until this railway reformation is over, the next 2 to 3 years is over until all of that is back up and running. So I think it makes a lot more sense to focus on other topics, to expedite investment opportunities that are already out there, and then, of course, just be faster across the board. Right. Excellent. Thank you very much. The last question is by Gerhard Decker from EBT Pressedienst. And just a technical remark, please, before you speak, please mute yourself. Unmute yourself in the browser window. Mr. Decker, your question will actually be the last question for today. Thank you. Right. It's not... I hope everybody can hear me. So I hope it's not really a question. It's more of a comment to Mr. Busch and, of course, also his predecessors, especially Mr. Kayser. Please do remember that I've been following this for a while, but years ago when GE was the global market leader and Siemens then entered this ambition, one of your predecessors actually read a fax from GE where it said, "Welcome to the top. We're very happy to have you. Believe us, it's very lonely at the top." And I think that's a really good quote. It was a huge pleasure. I do remember it from 2 decades ago, so I think it applies maybe now. Yeah, thank you very much. Glad to hear it. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Deckard. Yeah, I'm sure we'll be fine being lonely at the top. That is A-okay with us. Right. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your participation, for being here, for joining us, for logging in. One last note. On December 2nd, we'll, of course, publish our annual report as well as the sustainability report. And on the 10th of February, we'll hear and see each other again for Q1 and, of course, also for the AGM. Until then, please do stay safe and healthy. And thank you very much for joining.